What do you think about when you listen to the news? And we have a 24-hour news cycle, and you've got the major networks, and I mean we're talking about if something happens around the globe, something happens in your community, something happens that day in town, in Oklahoma City, something happens across the globe. It doesn't make any difference. What do you think about the news that you hear? What does it remind you of when I think about all of the, in the last, in particularly the last 2-3 months, the unrests, the wars, the demonstrations, the political upheavals, when you listen and you see the violence, when you see and you listen to the natural, what we would call the earthquakes, and when you listen to the volcanic activities and flooding and high waters and storms and hurricanes and tornadoes and destruction, and when you listen to it all, when you just listen to, you watch regular television programs and you see attitudes that are displayed. When you watch in here in this nation, some of the political activities going on in different states, and when you look at the behaviors of people, it just amazes me that the ungodliness and all of the things that are going on. What happens? What runs through your mind? The Lord is coming soon. You think about it. There are actually three passages of scriptures that I want us to read tonight. One is, since you've mentioned that, the Lord is coming soon. And I know that all of these things are signs of the times. You know, no man knows the day and the hour. But I want you to know the Lord is saying, take a look at the tree. And take a look at the seasons. Look at the signs of the times. Look at the signs that are very clear and clear. And you're going to see very plain and clearly that the Lord's coming is imminent and soon. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I want you to look at verse 1, because he gives an explanation that in verse 1. He says, in the last days. You say, well, the last days, it was Ken that mentioned a couple of weeks ago that 1,000 years, you see, is like one day with the Lord. Paul writes to Timothy and he says, in the last days, terrible times or perilous times, dangerous times will come. And then he gives a description of people in society and how they live and respond. And I want you to look at that. As we read that, I wonder if we could not say that this is really a description of what's going on in our day. Listen to it. In the last days, dangerous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy. Without natural affections, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce despisers of that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. When I read that, let me tell you what, all you have to do is just look around and listen and observe. And is this not something that is displayed very plainly and clearly right before our eyes in our own community? The things that are on television, absolutely, I've come to the conclusion there are very few programs that I'm able and capable in watching, because everything that I just read is very much so displayed on television programs in the so-called programs that are there for us to watch. All of these traits are plainly and clearly displayed. Another passage that I want us to look at is in Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, and there I want us to read verses 1 through 14. And Jesus went out, beginning in verse 1, and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left there one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of the coming and of the end of the world? Now I want you to look at verses 4 and following. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, and see that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nations shall rise up against nations, and kingdoms against kingdoms, and there shall be famine and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. And all these are the beginning of sorrows, and then shall they deliver to you to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another, and many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And then look at verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Now I want you to look at the signs here. I mean, these are signs that are very plainly and clearly pointing to the fact that the Lord Jesus is, his coming is imminent. When I think about the technology of the gospel being preached and proclaimed around the globe instantaneously, when you think where the gospel has been, that you see, if this gospel shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, that everything that we have at our fingertips, when I think about that, that what Travis does every Sunday when we're finished preaching a sermon, he puts that sermon on sermon audio, and I'm humbled by that. And then there are people that are around the globe that are downloading and listening to the sermons from Calvary Baptist Church in Sand Springs, that you see that those people have no earthly idea what Sand Springs is. But yet, because of modern day technology, you see, there are people that are able to listen to sermons on sermon audio. Travis, how many preachers are on sermon audio, and how many sermons are on sermon audio for people to listen to? Do you have any idea?
400,000.
There are 400,000 sermons on sermon audio. And I don't know how many preachers are on 400,000 and one, the one he put on for this morning. But you think about that, you see, not only are those, you see, missionaries that are preaching and proclaiming the message to a lost and dying world. When you think about the Michael and Faith that are in Papua New Guinea, and they are there, you see parents to those that translate the scriptures into people's languages. When you think about nations, and the gospel has already been in the last 2,000 years, you see that the gospel is being preached and proclaimed around the globe. And then the Lord will come. But think about the signs of the times. Look at it. In verse 5. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. What about false messiahs and false Christs? They are everywhere. And people are saying, look to me, I have the answers. I'm the Savior. And what a sign of the time. You just see them all over the place. The second sign, look at it with me in verses 6 and 7. And I, when you see that and you hear that, and you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, and see that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nations shall rise up against nation, and kingdoms against kingdoms, and there shall be, and with that we find famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. Think about the wars that are going on right now. I mean, when I think about what is going on in Libya, that here are, we're talking about literally a civil war, and where they are literally killing each other. When you look and see what happened in Egypt, When you see what's going around the globe, when you look at the North and South Koreans, when you look at everything that has happened, you see right before our eyes, what does the Lord saying? The Lord Jesus is saying, be not troubled. I got an email. I don't know if some of you get an email from the Jerusalem prayer team. Anybody here? You get an email from the Jerusalem prayer team. And we find here that there was someone that had contacted this man. And he said that don't, he was talking about the fact that all hell is breaking loose. And as he was watching the news, he's talking to this man who's leading this team. And he said, all hell is breaking loose. And then he says, he writes to him, he said, my dear friend, let me read you the words of the most famous Jew that has ever lived. And from the holy city of Jerusalem. And he describes the very day in which we are living. And of course, who is the most famous Jew that ever lived? It's none other than the Lord Jesus. And he speaks of the fact that this is exactly what's going to happen. False messiahs. And there are, you see, when you talk about violence and world violence and the wars that are all around us. Think about what happened. And I mean, we are in a sense, when I listen to all of this, it was last year, it was Haiti's. I don't know how many people lost their lives in Haiti's. I'm not real sure whether they ever really have a figure of that. And but when you think about what happened with the tsunami, there you see off the coast of Japan, just a few miles off of Japan. And then when you think about what happened there just within just a little bit of time of the disaster, we're watching that and we're looking at that. And then we're talking about some 6 and 7 hours later, that which happened over there in Japan, that the waves of the tsunami is hitting the West Coast and in a sense really has an effect on the whole globe. Think about it. And then you watch these images, and the numbers are, I know that very conservative for the fact. They're not really sure. I'm not sure whether they really know how many people lost their lives. The last I had heard, that was just in the hundreds, but they're talking about that's going to end up probably in the thousands. And when you see what, in this particular, what we would call a natural disaster. Folks, don't we see that? Don't we see that very plainly and clearly when he's saying that earthquakes in different places, famines and pestilences, all around the globe, you see them around us. Now, somebody said this has always been that way, but I don't believe that it's been that frequent as we have seen it here in these last few years. I mean, it seemed like that every time you turn around, there is something that we see very plain and clear. Of course, we're in the information age. There's something that's going to happen around the globe, and we're going to know about it, I mean, just moments after it happened. Another sign is this, is that there is religious persecution. Verse 9. And of course, with verse 8, all these are the beginning of sorrows. And then shall they deliver to you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. And you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. You take the Christians that are in Muslim countries. There is actually more persecution going on right now for those who name the name of Christ around the globe than there ever has been in the history of the church. Can you imagine that? Now, and you see, when you begin to proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ, and you see that people, they do not love the name and like the name, and they do not like those and love those that proclaim the name of the Lord Jesus. Persecution is a real thing, and that's very plain and clear. That is a sign. Then look at verse 10, apostasy, betrayal, and division. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. Oh, the human heart, what it is able and capable in doing in it. Think about it. Do we see that? I mean, do we see that in the society? Don't we see that? I mean, when you look at some of the television programs, and when you see all of the stuff that's going on in families, and how families are suing each other, and how they're vaunting sin and wickedness and violence. Here recently, I was turning on the television. I was going and scanning through wanted to look for something in the TV Guide channel to find out what the program was. And up above there were playing the history of homosexuality in the United States. I mean, we're talking about in the middle of the day. And they were proclaiming that right there. And I'm thinking, now, you see, I am offended by that. And so I sat down and I wrote, I called Cox. I communicated to Cox. And then I wrote a letter to the TV Guide channel. And I said, I do not appreciate this filth that is put on the television. But then when you begin to look and you look at the television programs and you see what you've got and how things are portrayed, how families are turning against each other, how people are in hate, you see, all they're interested in is me, myself, and I, and how they are betraying their own blood and their own family members. Think about it. That's one of those signs. It's very plain and clear. And then we have false prophets. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. I want you to know my heart is aching for some of those things that are on the umbrella, underneath the umbrella of Christianity. And those things that are proclaimed and declared for people. And then when I look and I see the masses and the thousands of people that are following it, it grieves me to no end. I heard a notable, a well-known preacher in our day about 2 weeks ago, and he made the statement, "Sow the seed of faith, and you will authorize God to give you a blessing." When I hear that, then I'm thinking, you see, what kind of message is that? That where is God? And you see, does God reign and rule? And is He the one that's in charge of the blessings? We don't authorize God to do nothing. So when I listen to these false messages, when I listen to these so-called preachers that are proclaiming these lies, and the masses are following, that it's very plain and clear to me that this is the sign that we're at the last days, and the Lord's coming is imminent. Another sign is this, is there's a falling away. You see, we find in verse 12, "And because iniquity shall abound, and the love of many shall wax cold." And then he says, "But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." What do you think? The Christian walk is what? It is a walk of faith. It is a walk that is on a narrow path. You remember the Sermon on the Mount where the Lord Jesus is saying, "Enter the gate." And you see that gate is what? It's none other than the Lord Jesus. And the gate is a narrow gate and it is a difficult path. And let me tell you, if anybody tells you that the Christian walk and the Christian following and pursuing is a picnic, they're lying to you. When you're interested in living a godly life, I promise you, persecution will come your way. When you stand for truth and you proclaim the Scriptures, I've got news for you. Difficulties will come. Flesh rises up. The world rises up and Satan will throw things in your path. And at the same time, we do know this, is that those who are in the Lord Jesus, they must persevere, but they will persevere. And so we find here, yes, there are those, you see. And then he says, "But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved." Now, folks, what do we do when we see all of these things? Now, I have one more passage in light of what we were talking about. And I want you to look at this in Psalms chapter 46. Psalms 46. Now I want you to look at these two verses right there. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Because of that, therefore, we will not fear. Now listen to this next statement. Though the earth be removed, or though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. I don't know about you, but that is about a description of a massive upheaval when it comes to creation. You agree with me? And he says, you know, the Lord is our refuge and our strength, and he is a very present help in trouble. Regardless what would come, that he's saying, I will trust in him. Then look at verse 4, and let's read the rest of this psalm. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. And God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. And God shall help her in that right early, and the heathens raged. What do you think? I mean, don't we see that right before our eyes? Don't you see that? I mean, don't we see that in the demonstrations all around us in these nations? Don't we see that? The heathens raged, the kingdoms were moved. And then I want you to look at here this next statement. He uttered his voice, the earth melted, the Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge. Beloved people, brothers and sisters in Christ, I believe that we're in the last days. The Lord has spared us and he's kept us, he's protected us where we are. But at the same time, it's a potentiality, and our children may see it, our grandchildren may see it, where some of these things will come home and come very much so affecting us. But that we might say, the Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge. Come and behold the works of the Lord, what desolation he had made on the earth. And then look at verse 9, what a promise. He'll make it worse to cease unto the end of the earth. He'll break the bow and cut the spear in sunder. He burned the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. And then he closes that. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. God is our refuge and strength and very present help in trouble. And so I want you to know, I when I look at all of these things, I'm troubled for, I grieve over. When I see the instantaneously loss of life, I'm thinking about that here are souls that have passed from time into eternity, and apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, they are eternally lost. Let me tell you what I'm thinking about when it comes to Japan right now, Japan. It's the fact that I know there are Christian missionaries in Japan. We need to be praying for them. We need to pray for courage and strength. We need to pray for them for safety. We need to pray that they're able and capable of making the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ very plain and clear. You know, God is able and capable in saving Japanese too. And the thing that I was thinking about when I was thinking about Japan, and here is a people that no doubt are in need of the Lord Jesus Christ, I was thinking of Jonah going to Nineveh. And what happened there? Jonah preaches and proclaims the God of the Bible. He proclaims. Hey, Jonah's heart was never really in it. But what happened? You see, God worked in a mighty way. And from the king on down, they clothed themselves in sackcloth and ashes, and they repented. We need to be praying for those that are in Japan and other places like that in order for them to proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we need to pray as we see these things that we say, you know, the day of the Lord is very imminent and that we're ready for him. And that we can say, Lord Jesus, even so, come quickly. Lord, we're going to look for you to come. In the meantime, we pray, Lord, will you use us mightily? And that we would tell those people that will say, we'll ask the question to make the statement to say, all hell is breaking loose. That we can say, let me show you what the Word of God said. Let me show you what the Lord Jesus Christ said about these events. That history is unfolding right before our very eyes. And the Lord is going to come soon. You need to be prepared. You need to be ready. If you don't know him as Lord and Savior, repent and turn from your sin and embrace him and follow him, pursue him for the rest of your days. For the rest of us, when we see these things, we ought to lift up our heads, even if the walk is difficult. Because you see, we know that our redemption draweth nigh. And so, Lord, help us and enable us as we live our lives, that we say, I believe that the signs of time are very clear. The Lord's going to come, and He's going to come pretty soon. And may we be ready. May we warn others to be ready as well. Let's pray.